Welcome to the N1 podcast, where you'll get an inside look at stories from the Clemson MBA team,
as well as entrepreneurs and innovators from Greenville, South Carolina, and beyond.
Brought to you by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub at the Clemson University MBA program.
Welcome to N1. This is Jamie Patterson coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. Hope you're all having a great day. Today, we are going to focus on a couple of topics. Most importantly, I think some of our previous podcasts, we've really focused on the power of relationships and what that means in terms of being successful. And mentorship is a huge piece of that. So I am so excited to introduce you all to our guest today, my friend Ramon Nieves Lugo, who's the principal of Unicom Media Group, which is a Hispanic marketing and communication strategy company. And he has worked a lot with our students in terms of being on the panel for the pitch competition and giving some great feedback and mentoring some of them. So, Ramon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
How are you?
I am doing well. This is a great Friday morning, so I'm excited. And I'm excited to be here.
Good. Well, we are so excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I born and raised in Puerto Rico. I got to always say that. You know, that's where I'm from. That's where you get the accent. You hear that a lot. But born and raised in beautiful island of Puerto Rico. Loved it. Miss it. And I'm from there. And then pretty much came here to study marketing at, I could say, the school, Bob Jones University, mm-hmm. that I study. And pretty much just started my own marketing agency here with my brother. And it was just one of those things that we had the opportunity to develop an agency that just helps clients reach the Hispanic market. And we just had that passion. The other thing was just like my past experience. So mm-hmm. being born and raised in Puerto Rico, I knew about the Hispanic community, but I knew about my own like Puerto Rican culture. And coming here to the States, I just learned so many. I met so many people from different countries like Colombia, Mexico, mm-hmm. Peru, Chile, Dominican Republic. And so it was cool to meet other cultures and know like how similar we are, yet so different.
Yes.
And so with that in the marketing background, I met so many different companies that were just saying, hey, we want to reach the Hispanic community. We just don't know like how. And they were thinking like, hey, maybe we've put like Se Habla Español, Spanish sign outside. That is it. And it was such more than that. And so it's been our mission as an agency to not only elevate our clients, like brand, who they are in the Hispanic community, but also elevate our Hispanic culture, mm-hmm. who we are, who they are. And so I love sharing that with a lot of people. So, you know, that's a little bit of just a little background, just coming from Puerto Rico, born and raised there. Love surfing. That's like always my thing about it. Love Disney. Thinking that you and I would know that very well. And I'm not ashamed to share that right now on this podcast. And I love everything about just friends and families and relationships. And I'm married. I have a wife. She's married. We've been married for about 5 years. And she, her and I have a daughter. She's one. Her name is Olivia. And she's been so much fun. It's really, really cool. And I'm excited to have that. So it's been exciting just to, you know, our lives together and what we're doing and just kind of a little bit of everything. So yeah, that's a little bit about myself, just kind of sharing.
No, thanks for sharing that. And Olivia is adorable.
Thank you.
And she loves Disney just as much as Dad, right?
She does.
So how many years have you been in Greenville?
So let me see. I came here in 2004. I always tell people this. It's like I came here in 2004, but I really didn't make Greenville my home until like 2007. Just because I was still flying from Greenville to Puerto Rico because my family was still living there. So really 2007 is when my family moved here, and we actually rent an apartment and there's different things. So we actually that's the year that we made it like, okay, Greenville now is our home. You know, we moved and we're here. So
Well, I think it's amazing that you chose Greenville to launch your business because, you know, here in the program, we have a lot of mm-hmm. entrepreneurial students, whether they're in the entrepreneurship program or they're in our corporate program that are just have that entrepreneurial spirit. So what was it about Greenville that made it the perfect place for you to launch your business?
You know, it's a good question. I get that a lot because especially with a Hispanic agency, most Hispanic agencies are in Miami, right. New York, and Orlando or something, you know, somewhere, or Los Angeles. Well, what was interesting, there was two things. I love Greenville. I think it's just an amazing environment, the entrepreneurship environment, the companies, the people, the individuals, and just the international flair. Like, just everything about it just makes it a great place to not only raise a family, but also start your own business and grow it and expand. So you know, the area was great. And especially between Atlanta and Charlotte, you know, it was great. The other thing was the story of Irwin and Pelham EP. You know, I actually read the founder, Joe Irwin, and I read his story about starting an agency of that size in an area like Greenville, where normally there are agencies that the big ones are in New York, and said, why can't we have an agency like that here in the Southeast? And I said the same thing. Why can't we have a Hispanic agency that is based here in Greenville? It doesn't have to be Miami. We still get it. We still know. And so those are the two, three reasonings why starting business here was just being Greenville such an awesome place, but also doing something unique and different, because we actually started the first full-service Hispanic agency in South Carolina.
Oh, wow.
And so I wanted to do that, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And as the podcast is called In One, mm-hmm. technically you are in one because – you actually work out of the Endeavor space.
That's right.
So again, you mentioned Joe Irwin. So tell us about the Endeavor space. Let's do a little plug because it's such amazing space. If you haven't been to the Endeavor space, what is it? Cocktails and collaborations. Like, go to an event. Holy cow.
It's a great place. I if Joe hears this podcast, hey Joe and Shannon, you guys are doing awesome, and the whole staff is amazing. You know, the whole staff, Sally and them, they're great. And so, but what I like about the space is just it's downtown, and it just gives you that creative freedom mm-hmm. to just be out there, do something different, be in a different space, different area. And potentially meet other clients here, you know, for another room. And I have an office downtown, like toward really Pettigrew. But I like the space just to, you know, just to meet other folks and be other people around creative and marketing. And contacts and collaborators like Joe and Shannon have been doing an amazing job on bringing thought leaders in the realm of marketing and creative and advertising agency and just come speak to us here, and that's changed. If anything, it's elevated who we are and how the group is and how marketing is. It's been awesome. So I just love that place. It's pretty cool.
Don't forget a shout out to Caper.
Oh yes, Caper. Oh,
how
my
could
gosh.
You forget?
Sorry, Shannon.
No, I think Shannon probably thinks I'm nuts because every time she walks in with the dog, I just like dive on the floor for the dog.
I do the same thing. It's just. Anyway, Shannon knows that. I'm like on the floor hugging her. Yeah, Caper.
Yay, Caper. Well, so let's dive into this. So I want to talk about mentorship with you. I know you and I have had this conversation about what mentorship has meant to us personally, what it's meant for me particularly in working with our students. I see the importance of mentorship every day and what that can mm-hmm. mean for the careers of our students and the opportunities that they have going forward. So give me your take. I mean, talk to me about your experience with mentors.
So I'm going to be honest in this podcast, and that's me. You know that. You know, I did not go out and seek out mentorship. I did not grow up and, you know, people telling me, hey, you need to have a mentor. That was not something instilled in me. It was sort of forced, what I call it. because when you start your own business, even though I started with my brother, you still feel like it can be a lonely, you know, realm, you know, and it's hard, you know, when you have to go through different things and just struggling. Mm-hmm. And for me was that I was just in a place where I needed to talk to other people that are outside the business. I needed to talk to other people who had a different, you know, point of view. And that was hard on me. Like, and I prayed. It's like, God, just help me to find the right people that are around me that can communicate that to me. And then, you know, I love my brother. I love my parents. And they've always been a great source of advice. And I trust them. And to this day, I still talk to them. But they're family. At the end of the day, you really want somebody outside of that to communicate, you know, what's the real things. And so I started just seeking out people that I'm thinking, hey, I want to talk to you. Can I talk to you? You know, like, can we have this discussion? And it turned out, you know, again, to be pushed to her, like this is what's going on. And then all of a sudden it's like they're sharing, you know, different experiences in life. And I went from having zero mentors to right now 6 different mentors. And that's changed my life so much just because I think I'm a better person in that way. I think I can share more with other people. And I think I'm a stronger person, both spiritually, physically, mentally, in different levels with that. So it's really been key for me to continue and grow and have good mentors in my life that are both for their peers, mm-hmm. Those that are much older than I am, too, and those that are in business or are not in business. I got a good friend of mine, and he's Muslim. And I love sitting down with him. And him and I have different faiths, but I love sitting down and we talked about different things. And he's been great in my life with that. And I think I've been the same way. And him and I just share a great passion. So that's what I love about it. It's just you're learning so much about life and you're growing so much that wisdom grows with you.
Well, I think you made a good point at the beginning in terms of seeking out a mentor. And I think so many times what people might do is go on LinkedIn and think, oh, I want this person to be my mentor, and just almost ask, will you be my mentor? And that's not how this works.
No.
I think that when you start to build a relationship, you find out, you know, and it happens organically. And I think that means a lot more when you're able to kind of build that relationship and have that buy-in from each other.
Yeah. Building trust. That's the key of it. You know, you can't just go in, right, and talk. I didn't do that. I just started building trust with the person, you know, and they need to trust me as well. Because that's the only way a mentorship grows is by trust. Because you got to trust them that when you ever shared a piece of information that is, it's just you, you know, that's between you and them. Like, that's no one else. They can't share it. And so you got to build that trust with that person. And that was key for me. I have a good friend. She just asked somebody to be their mentor, but it took a while for her. But that's good. Like, I'd rather take your time and don't rush it, because you want the right people. You know, you want the right people in your life. And I've had the situation where I have a mentor for a season, and then boom, he leaves, and I have another mentor for another season. And so I've had several that come in and out. And it's been awesome in that way. But yes, don't rush it. You just take your time, build that trust with that person who you like to be a mentor, maybe, and engage, you know, with them in conversations. And, you know, you don't have to go out and straight and say, hey, I want you to be a mentor. That's why I'm meeting with you. No, say, hey, I want to pick your brain. I need your advice. I want to know a few things. Can you help me? And then as that trust builds, you definitely want to say, hey, can you be a mentor of mine? Can you be in my board of trustees here together?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and you and I have talked about where you know, it's mentorship or the career board of directors, to which is so important to have people. And I love when you're talking about just the diversity of the people that are on your board in terms of age and background, because that's so important to have these different perspectives. Mm-hmm. To have somebody that's been in the marketing world for, you know, 30 plus years as a mentor, to have an entrepreneur. So there are so many facets to what you do.
Yeah.
To get those different nuggets from different perspectives, I bet is huge for you.
No, it is huge. It is huge. I enjoy the diversity of it. And that's key. For me, I went about and seek that. I was like, I wanted diversity in my mentors. And I do have that. You know, one of my favorite mentors I have, him and I have been meeting for about 3 years now. It's the first Friday of every month. It will change it kind of here and there, but we meet at 7 o'clock in the morning. And he is later in his age. Like, you know, he still runs his own business, but he bikes and he does cycling and he does all these exercise. He's the one that pushed me to say, you know, physically, you got to start doing something for yourself, too. You got to take care of yourself. And you know, he's older than I am. And I'm like thinking, oh, gosh, like, that's like, he's right. You know, so, you know, even him pushing me for that and knowing, it's like, if he can do it, I can do it, too. You know, I just love the diversity because everybody's so different. And I just love have that in my life. So,
well, it's so funny that you say that because, you know, I'm sure you've read those articles that it's like what successful people do every morning. And first of all, the fact that you're meeting at 7 a.m., it's like the first thing is get up early and get stuff done, right? But the working out piece is really interesting too. And you and I actually met years ago at a run.
That's right.
Right? It was your very first 5K.
That is right. One of my
It was the Sphinx.
The Sphinx. It was the Sphinx. It was
coming up.
It's part of what Joe Irwin has pushed on me. It was a BHAG, you know?
Yeah.
Big, hairy, audacious goal. And him as a business coach and mentor, he's pushed me for that. And one of the things I said is I want to do a marathon. Like, one day I want to do a big marathon. And I've never run in my life. If you're listening right now, I've always been a short distance runner. But I've never been like, you tell me to run a mile. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But that's how I started, you know, being pushed that way. And then my other mentor pushing me for exercising. And I love it because that's how I started meeting other people like you. And then, like, and doing my 5Ks and 10Ks. I met some awesome people who are also mentoring and giving, like yourself. You have helped me kind of like what I do in running and motivating me to do running and other people. So it is pretty cool to have those people like in your life. And yeah, I love the results of when you do something that is outside your comfort zone, like meeting other new people. It's amazing. You just never know what comes out.
Well, and I think part of that running piece too is kind of a minute to kind of have some clarity time, mm-hmm. right? Because you're so busy all the time.
Yeah.
You're working a lot. And so what has that meant for you in terms of giving yourself that time to, you know, whether it's 30 minutes a day to kind of clear your mind and have some sort of release?
You know, when I started running, I didn't know what to expect. I either was going to hate it or I was going to really love it or what was that going to be? I have most friends that I've communicated, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Some of them have said, oh, you're going to love it. Other people say, you're going to hate it. And I'll be honest with you, I fell in the love of like loving it. I think what I loved about it and what's helped me so much has been that I have right in front of me, there's a path and I'm just running and I'm just going. And there's several things happening. In my mind, all I'm thinking is about the run. I'm not thinking about client work or the situation or anything related. It just means I need to put running. I need to go that. Need to go there.
One foot in front of
the
other.
One foot in front of the other. Yeah, exactly. And as I think of that, that was key for me to say, okay, think about that. And so that was an interesting fact of me of just learning about my body, like also stretching my body. It's like, wow, I'm able to run for 30 minutes straight. That's crazy. And then I said, can I do it more? And then I ran for like an hour straight. And then so two things for me as motivated to be like, how much can I push my body toward and how much can I concentrate on the run? And that's helped me in my business. That's helped me personally because then I'm thinking, how much can we push forward on this, on this goal, on this objective? Because if my body, if I can do this, I know we can do other things. And so that's helped me just really push myself. And self-motivation it's been key. I think it's easy to feel other people motivate you, but you want to self-motivate yourself. You really want to have like, what is that for me and how I motivate myself? Because at the end of the day, it's you. You're the one getting up. You know, and doing the things that you're doing.
Well, and that's such a great point because going back to mentorship too, it comes back to you, right?
Yes.
Like you can get great advice from people, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do with it?
That's right.
What's the best advice you've gotten from a mentor?
It's funny. Right when you ask me that, it comes to my mind. It's like there's clients for a reason. There's clients for a reason. There's clients for a season. I struggled in the beginning when I started the agency. Was like I'm so service oriented. I've always loved working with clients, and like I get so into it that losing a client for me it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very very hard, and I don't like it. I don't you know. Anyway, so one of my mentors said to me is that Ramon, you gotta understand, like, there are clients for a reason. There's clients for a season. And now that I've been in business, next year is going to be 10 years.
That's amazing. Are we going to have a big 10-year celebration?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have it, you know. And I'm getting our team to get ready for that. But but he's right. You know, he was right about knowing that there's things for a reason. There's clients for a reason. There's clients for a season. And I've seen that before. And I'm very thankful for the current clients that we have. I'm very thankful for the clients that I had before.
Yeah.
I could be honest with you. There's many clients that I've had that give me the opportunity to grow our agency where we are. So I'm very thankful for that. This helped me make better. And so that's like one of the biggest advice I'll never forget. And I always share with people. It's like, remember, it's like you got clients for a reason. You got clients for a reason. And there's always a season for a lot of things. So,
right. And it's not personal. And no. I think, you know, I attribute it to sales too, is that sometimes, you know, it's good to get some of that rejection. And after a while with, you know, as you grow in your career, you're thankful for that.
Yeah.
Because it helps put into perspective where you're at now.
Yeah, so this is not a mentor, but I heard it from a gentleman that very wise and has a lot of business. And he's always said that yes will get you in business. The no's will get you, you know, will also move you forward in business. But the maybes are the ones that put you out of business.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, embrace the no. I always tell people, embrace the no. I love the no. I love the rejection, because then, okay, how can we do it better? You know, and so many people are afraid of rejection.
Yeah.
And a lot of mentors that I've met have gone through all of those things. You know, rejection, and they're better for who they are now. So if you're constantly being say yes all the time, I would say, okay, I think you got to surround yourself with other people or other things, because something's going on. Like, you got to keep improving yourself. And the no is so important for me.
Well, and I think that hearing people's stories is so important. And those that are brave enough to say, I failed.
Yeah.
And I think that when we bring in entrepreneurs to speak to our students, that's always something, because, you know, we see them now super successful, doing great things. But to get there, everything that it took and failures along the way made them who they are.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really interesting point, because so many people, you know, we'll look at you and say, oh my gosh, like, you know, so successful doing all these things. But there have been, you know, there's been a mountain to climb along the way, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like I said, when you have those mentors that can say, you know, you're going through this right now. I was there, but look at where the end is.
Oh yeah. I mean, I used to, before, when I was reading about these like successes, I was like, oh wow. It's like everything went great for them. And you miss so much of the build out. You miss so much of like the friction and the pains and all these different things. And that's why I love my mentors and, you know, with Joe and Frank and Christina. You know, they're both, all three of them are business owners, and they all share with me. It's like, success is not straight up. Mm-hmm. Success is this little mountain peaks, you know, up and downs. But hopefully you keep growing up. And so, that's been a reality check for me, to know that we've had our downturns. Like this year was a tough year for us. We had a client pull back on a few things. We had to pull down a few things, but we come back again stronger, you know? So, one of my mentors, I love it. She's used this comparison of the bison, and the bison. Yeah. And, when they see a storm, they huddle together and they run toward the storm. And while all the animals run away, they run and fight through it. And I love that picture of the animal just going through the storm, because it's just like, what's, you know, that to me is like, I want that, you know, like God created them in that way. I want to go and fight through that storm. And it's beautiful. Actually, I looked it up. It's like, is it true? It's like, and it's true. Like these big animals just go through that storm. And it's just, that's what I'm hoping with our team. It's like, let's huddle together and let's go through this storm, because it's just so much easier, you know, so much easier together than by yourself.
I love that.
I know.
I love
it too.
I might steal that from you.
Oh, you can have it all you want.
Although I'm going to make fun of myself a little bit here, because I only watch children's movies with two small kids. So I don't know if you've watched Secret Life of Pets 2 yet.
I have.
But so you know the quote at the end where it's like, stuff's going to happen in life.
Yes.
You have two choices. You can run from it or run at it.
Yeah. Just run at it.
I was literally watching it thinking, like, I'm stealing that for my class. But the buffalo, the bison thing,
the bison
seems way.
Yeah.
I might use that.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome. I love it. The buffalo bison, it's a good comparison. Just running to the storm. It's like this big animal, seeing it, going through it. And these storms, you know, storms, like, you've seen them. Like, they're strong. But, yeah, they just, you can power through it.
The Clemson University MBA program is home to full and part-time corporate and entrepreneurship degree programs, a part-time business analytics program, and the new online MBA. Learn more at www.clemson.edu/MBA.
I love that. That's amazing. So you mentioned no. Are you getting better at saying no?
Like you mean getting no or reject, or
you yourself? I know.
Oh, yes.
I know that you're involved in a lot of things, and I know that you know, you're a yes person, but but at some point you've gotta say no. Are you getting better at that?
Yes.
And have the mentors kind of helped you through those?
Yeah. Early, very, very early in my start, I had a young guy. One of the youngest said, "Learn how to say no, Ramones. Like, you got to." And he was right. It was hard, but you know what I've learned to, when I say no, I don't stop there and said, I can't commit to this, but can I help you find someone that would? Can I help you connect you with someone else? And that's helped me a lot, because I love, again, serving people. I like working with them, helping them. And so by just saying no, it's like, hey, goodbye. That's it. No, it's like, no, but can you share with me a little bit of like who you're looking for exactly? Because I might know somebody. And at least I want to help you find somebody.
Absolutely.
And that is an easier thing for me to do, because I just shoot an email introduction. And I've done that so many times. And I love doing that. So I've learned to say no, but I've learned to say no with a purpose, but also with a help. Like, how can I help you?
Yeah. No and.
Yeah, no and, yeah.
I'm a yes and person. But I like the no and, too.
Gotta learn how to say
I'm
that.
Gonna work on that.
You gotta learn
you have
that.
To mentor me on this.
Yeah, I will. Got to.
So have all of your mentorship experiences been positive?
So far, they have been, just because I've built it on a trust factor. I don't really necessarily just jump into it and just be like, hey, be my mentor. And I'm like, no, like, I built it. Like, and that's why I said, people's like, build that trust first. When you build that trust first, then you're gonna have a great positive experience. You know, and what I mean positive experience is like they none of them has sort of failed. Like, in my mind, like, my expectations are low, because I'm not, you know, they're human too, and they, you know, they make errors like we do. But you know, one of our other, my other mentor, Toby, you know, he's my favorite. We're having lunch next week. You know, he said to me, it's like, I'm actually not just learning, you're not only learning from me, but I'm actually learning from you. And I was like, you're learning from, about, like, me? And my other mentor, Frank, said the same thing. And I'm like, wow, like, that's interesting. And so my expectations are very low, and just, when I build that trust first, I just deposit. It's a lot of good positive experiences. I really have very few. I haven't had any, really, just because I take my time. Mm-hmm. You say?
Well, and you clearly have the right mentors in your corner, because to hear somebody say, yes, you know, I've been uberly successful in my career, and I'm learning from everybody that I meet. I mean, that's a piece of humility that only comes, I think, with you know, a certain amount of self-awareness.
Yes.
And knowing that even though you have had many successes, you can still learn from anybody.
Exactly.
In any, you know, any position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's so, so important.
Yeah, no, it is very important.
So now you're at the stage where you're able to kind of pay it forward and,
yes,
and mentor other people. So what does that look like for you? What have those relationships look like for
you? Well, just speaking at with your students, you know, I have had a few that have reached out. I have one that I just sit down with them and share. It's like, what are you going through? You know, kind of hearing, you know, kind of their struggles, or hear what they're going through, or what they're trying to think about. And I love it, because everything that I've learned from mentors, I can share that with them. And I love it because I can hear their mind going, wow, like, I never thought about that. I was like, yep, that was me too. Like, never think of that. And so that's the key about this, is just not only, it doesn't stop with you. So if you're looking for a mentor, know that, pay that forward. Like, be a mentor to other people. And be like, even if it's just one, even if it's your own family members, like, just start somewhere. But definitely learn, like, how to do that. If you're still not confident, that's fine. You know, build that confidence first of being a mentor. Just, if anything, build that toward that. But at some point, you're gonna be a mentor for somebody, and you will never know that. Some people will never tell you, and they look up to you. And I didn't know that. There's some people that have told me, it's like, I don't like failing you. I don't like disappointing you. It's like, what? I was like, what? You know, like, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I get it. You have an influence in people, And that influence impacts a lot of people. So everything that you do, it makes an impact. And so I tell people, it's like, be ready to be a mentor to somebody else if you're being called to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So community involvement. You are, I don't know when you sleep. I don't know if you do sleep because you are involved in so many things. And now just coming off of Fall for Greenville, which you're on the board of, and I know it's been a crazy time for you. So talk to us a little bit about your community involvement and what that's meant for you.
I've made it part of my life. I think about different pillars that I'm involved with, you know, mentorship. Community involvement is key, and it's part of who I am and what I do. But I credit that with my mom. My mom is the one that started me involved with that. To be honest with you, I never really wanted to get involved with anything. But my mom was the one involved with, she started the South Carolina Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And by way of force, and good one too, I got involved with it. And I started to learn the Hispanic community, and I got to learn, like, wow, it's like, there's so much impact you can make. And you don't have to have $1 million to donate to them. Like, your time and your effort and your mind, like, some organizations really need that. And so it's one of those things that I want to be involved every year with something that it means to me. Now, I've learned a lot, too, about saying no, because I've had my own mistakes of being part of organizations that I should have not been part of. I was not ready for it. I was a bad board member. I should have not been part of that. So I've learned quite my way to be a volunteer first, and then to say, can I make an impact here? You know, could they also use what I'm using? You know, the talents, you know. So, you know, remember that you always are, you know, involved with things and you're influencing. So being involved with Fall for Greenville, it just came back. You know, it's a fun one just because first of all, Megan Finner got me involved with that, and she's a great person, and she's great at she's going to be actually the chair this year. So we're excited about that, and it's been phenomenal just to be part of something that is impacting thousands of people, and also not only thousands of people, but also impacting organizations by what we donate to them and give them money to her. So I appreciate if you went to Fall for Greenville. I really appreciate you coming out, buying tickets, buying food, because it does impact other organizations in the community. And we're just excited about that. So it's just fun to be a part around different people and learning.
Yeah. So how do you choose? I mean, when you're asked by so many people to get involved on their boards or to volunteer, how do you choose? Is it just based on passion, what you're passionate about? Or is there, like, how do you go through that process?
So honestly, again, like, early on, I just said, I want to be involved with anything I can. Right. I started more with anything that impacted the Hispanic community. So I really wanted to get involved with organizations that made an impact in the Hispanic community. And then I started then branching out a little bit higher and said, all right, what organizations are directly making an impact in the community? Also toward the families and children and business. Those are the three areas that I said, I want anything that is business related, family and children's, like, I can make an impact there because I have a passion for those things. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I start growing toward that. And then I started kind of graduating saying, well, can I be an impact in the state? You know, and that's really my next step is how can I be involved in a larger scale with organizations that are making an impact in the state or in the region. But for right now, a lot of my involvement is here locally, and I want that just because our business is here.
Right.
We are headquarters here, and we want to make sure that we're doing the impact in our own backyard and then how we're making an impact in a broader sense.
Yeah. So what are you most proud of?
You mean like business-wise? Are you talking like in general life or just?
Yes and.
Yes and. There's so many good things. I'm pretty proud of our Latinos United group. Let me just say that one. Elvia, who's the founder, she allowed me to be the chair this year, and I've been proud to the impact that me as a person and then other individuals that are Hispanics being mentors and talking to younger Latinos in our community. I'm proud of that work. I'm proud of every work that our board members have been doing. and they have been influential on that sense. And I appreciate them letting me lead them on this, because it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to lead. It's not easy to grow. And I'm really proud of that sense of just knowing that I'm building something. We are building something, not just me. We are building something that my daughter can grow up around and see and make an impact to. And other individuals can make an impact through that organization. And so I'm very, very blessed and proud of our board members at Latinos United and just the impact that they're doing. Because it's not just me. It's just all of them. You know, you're doing each one. So.
Well, and I love that, because I remember when you were on our panel and a couple of the students that were Hispanic came up and you called mm-hmm. them out because they were trying to kind of limit their accents a little bit.
Yeah.
And you mentioned your accent at the beginning when you introduced yourself. And I think you gave the best advice, because it absolutely blew me away that you had shared with us that you had gotten points deducted during some public speaking class.
Yeah, some public speaking class.
Because you had an accent, which I could just, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I know.
So the fact that you were so empowering to them to say, no, you own this.
Yeah.
This is who you are.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and to turn around and see them light up and think like, oh my gosh, this is okay. This, you know, coming from you, this is good. Like, this is a positive. This is something that I should foster and use. And, you know, it blew their minds a little bit. But I am so thankful that you gave them that advice to be who they are. That's so important.
I'm glad I made an impact, because I tell people that all the time. And I don't make excuses for my accent. And, hey, you have an accent because you speak other languages, you know. And the same thing I tell people, like, that are American, like, that are learning another language, like Spanish. Oh, I have an accent. I don't really want to speak Spanish because it doesn't sound like. Don't do it. Because it's like. The way that it comes out is just like, you're learning another language, you're learning another culture. Like, that is really respectful. I respect that, you know. And I do the same thing if I'm learning Japanese or Chinese. Like, I'm hoping that they feel like, hey, I'm here to learn about you. And just learning a language itself is hard, and speaking in your second language, which right now English is my second language, you know, it's not easy. But I tell people, embrace that accent. And don't make excuses. Always improve in your language. Improve on how to speak. But that always going to be there. That's okay. That should never take away from who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do you balance it all?
How I balance it all?
Mm-hmm. You got a lot going on, my friend.
Yeah. Well, we've built at UMG. You know, I've had some great partners, Tim and Gustavo, who have helped me develop a great group of work, of system and work, and I have some great co-workers that I if anything, I work for them. They don't work for me. I work for them, and they've been phenomenal on just helping me and helping us grow the agency and doing work that they can be part of. And it's all about that unique ability. And so for me, it's been sort of like I've enjoyed what I'm doing, and I'm focusing more on that. And other people are enjoying things that I don't really much enjoy. And so the balancing really has been having the right people in place, delegating. That was like the hardest thing I remember learning. It was just how to delegate. And it's hard, but it's something that I need to I learned very early on. But once you learn and once you trust that delegation, like, you get, you know, you start balancing things. And so, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, I focus on the things that are important and focus on the things that are right there. And so that, you know, my faith, friends, and family, mm-hmm. you know, and so those are important things for me. I focus on those things. And other things, well, you know, it's hard. And I have to say, you know, you got some limited time. Everybody has the same 24 hours.
Yeah.
What you do with them is what you do with them. You know,
so. Absolutely. So what best advice do you have for young professionals?
What best advice I can give young professionals?
Yes.
Be a legacy builder, not an empire builder. Let me say this. One of my mentors, you know, they were sharing how, you know, in life, especially different ways, you know, especially, you know, what you're doing. When you're young, what are you doing? You're just building you know, your empire. You're building your home. You're building your family. You're building your career. You're building all this. And then when you get to their 55 and 60, and you start thinking about what legacy I'm going to leave and what this, why can't we as, if you're 19, 20, 21, why can't you just start thinking now what legacy I'm going to leave? Instead of being an empire builder, be a legacy builder. And that's huge for me. It's like, be a legacy builder. It changes your perspective. Mm-hmm. You're still going to build a home. You're still going to build a family. You're still going to have like career. But then it puts you way ahead that by your 60 or your 65, whatever age, that legacy has already been built for many years. And it's like that little, you know, money, putting money in the bank and getting investment. And that mindset to me, I want to share with anybody out there that if you could be a legacy builder, not an empire builder, be a legacy builder. Like, what can you do for others? How can you serve others and be that way and grow that?
I love that so much. And being that you're a marketing person, it's like, what's your personal brand? But start building that as somebody that's giving back to others and making a difference in other people's lives. And it will pay dividends, right, as you move on in your career. Yeah,
it does. I've seen it. And I've seen it with my own business. Like, I've had people reach out to me who have never thought that I was going to do business with them. And they just, the way that I've done my work and being a legacy builder mindset, they say, you know, I want to do business with you, you know, and I kid you not, it's been phenomenal. So be a legacy builder, you know, serve others, be there. But what does that really mean to you? Be a legacy builder instead of empire builder.
I love that so much. And I'm so thrilled that you were able to join us today.
Yes, I was excited.
And share your insights, but also some of what your mentors have shared with you and how they've supported you through the years. So you've been able to be successful and celebrate these victories with them as well, which is amazing.
Thank you.
So awesome. Before we let you go, I got to ask you some fun questions.
All right.
If that's okay.
Yep.
And yes. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What should I stump you with first? Okay, what's the best place you have traveled?
Best place I've traveled has been St. Lucia.
Okay, tell me more.
St. Lucia, my word, such a beautiful island. Like this mountainous island, small, but it's just these mountains and this beautiful. Just it feels like you're just in a whole different world, and then you got the beach, and you got snorkeling. Mm-hmm. I love.
Oh, and the surfing thing. Oh, that goes back to the surfing thing.
Oh, man. St. Lucia for me was like the best, you know, area to go to. But St. Lucia is by far like the best place I've gone to.
Okay. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog. All the way.
Woohoo. Favorite band?
Ooh. Man.
Or if you want a hall pass on favorite band, you can tell me your favorite concert you've ever been to.
What's funny is like I don't go to a lot of concerts, so I probably have to like do the band one. My favorite band, you know, it's funny because I'm one of those that I just love a lot of different music, variety of different music, and I just don't have right now for me that I do enjoy is Hillsong. I really like that a lot. So
okay.
My favorite band. Yeah.
Okay. What would you consider the best pizza in Greenville?
Oh, no way. You're asking me these questions. Are we talking like commercial or are we talking like local pizza? Like commercialized?
What's your favorite?
All right. This is because there's a shout out to, I'm a big Yankee fan. I love New York. I love Vic's Pizza.
Okay.
Vic's is like by far like the best style pizza I've ever had. There's a lot of good pizzas out there. There's a lot of good places out there. But if you love, I love New York style pizza better than New York style, Chicago style. Sorry, Chicago people. But I love, you know, the Vic's is by far the best, and it's right here in downtown.
Okay, so we're with Clemson. We're in one. So orange or purple?
Orange.
Okay. Favorite restaurant in Greenville?
Word. These questions. Hard. These are hard. By far, my favorite would have to be Hall's Chop House.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good choice.
It's really good.
That's a good choice. Favorite book?
You know, I don't read a lot, people, so I'm just going to let you know. But when I do read, I've had good ones. I'll be honest with you. It's not even a business book. It was just because I remember picking it up and I was saying, wow, like I read this thing in college and I was just interested. But it's so it's not the Lord of the Rings series, but it's the previous one.
What is it? I don't know these things. I still get made fun of every day because I haven't read Harry Potter yet.
Yeah, my mind is blanking right now, and I can't remember. Why is it I can't remember now? But anyway, it's the prequel to the Lord of the Rings books.
Okay.
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Yes, thank you. The Hobbit. So okay. That's been, like, to me was like, when they made it a movie, I was so ecstatic. But I read The Hobbit before Lord of the Rings was even a big thing. And I was just like, I didn't even know that there was a whole series for Lord of the Rings. I just knew that there was this book called The Hobbit, and I read it, and I just loved it. Like, I wanted to read more. So that's really been one of my favorites.
Nice. Favorite show to binge watch?
Oh, The Office.
Again, I get made fun of every day. I've never.
No?
I know. It's embarrassing. I'm sorry.
We got to do something about this. You got to watch The Office.
I have heard. I know. Everybody here makes Office jokes all the time, and I mean, I laugh, but I don't know what I'm talking about. Thank you so much again for joining us today.
Thank you.
This has been so much fun, and I really appreciate your advice, especially to our students. You've made such a difference in so many of the lives of our students so far.
Awesome.
And I am going to continue to ask you to be involved as much as you will.
Yep.
You will have time and come join us. So I really appreciate you, and I hope that you know what a positive impact you're making
Thank
on this
you.
Community and the Clemson MBA program.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. I love Clemson. My wife graduated from Clemson as a nurse, and I've gone out there to speak to students.
Yeah.
So I just love talking to students because I've been there.
Yeah.
I know where they are, and I understand, and I know how scary it can be. So I appreciate it. I really
do.
So I'd love to be part of it. So thanks.
Well, thank you. And this is Jamie Patterson coming to you from the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub. Have a magical day.
This episode was produced by the Clemson University MBA program and sponsored by the Pfeiffer Innovation Hub.
Thanks for listening to the Clemson MBA in One podcast. Hear more stories at www.clemson.edu/MBA/podcast.